my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is big.
Can't forget about that Satchel.
Can't forget about Satchel.
You always like, and Satchel, like it's like... Ah, last but not least.
If you use Satchel and listen to us through Satchel, let us know, because if I don't have to say it anymore, I won't, because I don't know if anyone actually hears us through that, but hey, it's an option. Just want to throw that out there.
It's another platform for The Call to be on, and I'm more than excited to have that happen.
That's right. So hey, it's been a bye week. Here we are. We're back again.
Yes, fresh and ready to go, man. I feel relaxed, man.
Josh, how'd you enjoy your bye week? What'd you do?
Bye week, I had a good time, man. I had some friends over. People got to come over and see my place. Obviously, you already saw it being that, you know, we hosted a UFC event here. It was great, man. Had you know, throughout the week, it was a busy week. You know, for work's sake, you know, a lot of overtime offered, but had some friends and family come by. You know, they enjoyed it. Got some shopping done. Did some Christmas shopping, obviously. Putting some dick Christmas decorations up. I know people yell at me, "Oh, it's pre-Thanksgiving." Thanksgiving's a week away, people. Now recording it on the Thursday before, we're a week away from Thanksgiving feast. So it's like I usually put my tree up Thanksgiving weekend. So it's kind of like it's my first house. I'm excited. So I bought, you know, a stocking from a fireplace. Got a garland. So it's just I've been in the festive mood, obviously, getting some Christmas shopping done, working, enjoying, you know, and I enjoyed football Sunday, you know, not that I do miss Ravens football, but it was good to just sit back, watch, you know, pull up my iPad, watch my fantasy teams go at it and watch football without the whole, oh my gosh, are we going to win or lose this one? So it was a great time, but I'm ready to get back to watching Ravens because, man, do I miss getting ready for game day.
That's right, and a lot of people were busy in the bye week. Terrell Suggs, he was off on some beach somewhere Instagramming. Ryan Jensen and I think his wife had a baby. Joe Flacco was interesting. He was quoted as saying, "If I didn't have to be at the castle, I wasn't there." So Joe was off doing his own thing. But you know who was really busy in this bye week? Dennis Pitta. Dennis Pitta had some very choice words to talk about with this Ravens offense, and you know, it was very interesting to hear a former player's perspective of this Harbaugh offense. And let me pull it up here real quick. It's kind of interesting what he said. He said, "I'm completely against the fact that you should go in thinking we should play conservative football and play to our strength, which is our defense. I think you have to go in with the mindset that we're going to put up as many points as possible and create big plays, and that's how you have to approach it. So hopefully they can be more aggressive offensively moving forward and take some shots downfield. But right now, Joe has one read, and he's going to check it down if it's not there, and that's really the offense that they have set up for him. It's difficult to play quarterback under those circumstances." Wow. Josh, what do you think about Dennis Pitta's words? We'll talk about what Harbaugh and Flacco said, but what is your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I mean, he has a point, because how many times have we can go back and find it on any show of any of our listeners going back and forth of how frustrating and how vanilla and how plain this offense is? You look at the top offenses today, Brandon, in the NFL. I was watching the Rams on Sunday. What do? They throw it down the stupid field, north and south. Not check it down. All of these offenses, the Rams, they're putting up points. I mean, they just put up another 41 points. No, you know, Seattle's going off the ball. You look at Kirk Cousins down in D.C., they're going up and down the field. Whatever they're doing, they're calling big plays. Robert Woods had a 96-yard touchdown for the Los Angeles Rams. I can't remember. Say, we have to go back to last year when Mike Wallace had a 90-plus-yard touchdown. I mean, it's just – I'm tired of – you're right. You know, how many times do we see the sidelines get played, throwing the ball sideways, 5-yard loss, you know, screen passes? It doesn't work. Today's NFL – is too quick for stupid screen passes and little dinking ducks, man. It only works against a certain blitz. And I think Dennis Pitta's right on. He has to call out. He has a rate as a former player. He won a ring with us, obviously. He caught a lot of touchdowns and a lot of passes, per se, from Flacco. So he knows. He knows the system. He's been here. If it wasn't for these weird fluke hip injuries that put him out of football, he probably would still be our tight end right now. So he has more than enough tenure here to say and call him out. And I like it. We need to be called out because this offense flat out stinks. We're, I think, either 31st or 32nd in pretty much every category on offense. Something's got to change, man. And Brandon, what's frustrating if you look at it, and I looked at the bye week. Do you know where we stand right now?
Where do we stand?
As crazy as it sounds, of the AFC teams that are in the hunt, meaning that they don't have a stranglehold on the division or they're get the first or second round bye, the Ravens, of the four teams that are available to basically take the final wild card spot, the Ravens have the best chance to make the playoffs at 50%, sitting at a 4-5 record, and they're one game out of the final wild card spot. How insane is that? One game out.
That is
and
pretty funny.
We're sitting, yeah, and we're picking them apart like we're the 1-9 Giants or the 0-10 Browns or whatever the Browns record. It's like you would think we've only won one or two games all year. Granted, we won four, but two of those are shutouts in grand fashion. It's just the way we've been playing. I love Dennis put his comments, man, because I think they were spot on. I agree with him. It's too simple, and it allows defenses to just sit back and go, we know what they're going to do. And when our running attack, which I love the fact that we're going to cover that, you know, it's no secret, but Alex Collins is going to get pretty much the lion's share of the carries now, and he's deemed the starting running back for the remainder of the year, even if with Whitehead and or Terrence West comes back. It's just too predictable, man. When I can sit there in the stands, I can, you know, ask fans and poll fans, what are we going to do next? NFL defenses are sitting back, and that's what makes this difficult to, you know, play a game of football against, because it's like we know what we're doing, and they're just playing the easy defenses against us, and it's not working. And the Ravens' offense is a definition of insanity, man. Doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. I love Dennis Pitta's comments, man. I couldn't agree with them more. What did you think?
I think it's an interesting perspective from a player side, because Joe comes out and goes, yeah, we got to work better. You know, we got to do better. We got to play better than
that. Of course we do.
Well, yeah, we can all see it's that, Coach Joe. Beef. But for Dennis to come out and talk about, I mean, Joe Flacco and him are boys. Like, they're tight. So for him to come out and say that about his friend, I mean, that says more to me than you know, former teammates.
But for true friends, call you out, do they not? They tell you the truth. Right. They tell you what you want to hear, not what you should hear. Or what you want. You get what I mean. Like, they don't want to tell you to sugarcoat and go, oh, well, you know, it's the whole, does this dress make me look fat? No, honey, it doesn't. When it obviously does, call them out on that mess. If the offense stinks, call it. Don't be sitting here going up to the podium and going, well, we just got to do better. We got to go. It just sounds like a broken record. Of course we got to do better. What are we going to do to change it? What's frustrating as a fan and as somebody who covers the team along with you is we sit here and cover this week after week, and it's the same stuff. If you identify and know what the solution is, you have to get a game plan to fix it. You can't just recognize it on the podium and go, okay. And I don't know what happens on closed doors and meetings or on the practice fields during the week, but it's like, I don't even think they know what's going on. We as fans outside do, because it's like, dude, you need to change this. This isn't working. But other teams are doing this successful, and they're 7-2 and 6-2 and 5-3. How do you think the Saints start 0-2 and won 7 straight games? It's not by a fluke. They're going out there, and they probably go, you know what? We're sick and tired of losing, so we're going to go out and fix what was wrong in those two losses, and they've just clicked. The Eagles started 1-1, and they're 8-1. I mean, there's no secret that these teams go on a winning streak for some odd reason. They find a system. They implement the game plan, and they don't waver from that. Patriots are notorious for that. They've been doing this since the beginning of time, it seems like, when Belichick and Brady became a tandem. It's just that's the way they do things. It's okay. You know, it's crazy how to think this, man. Opening night in the NFL, the Patriots get waxed and gave up 45 points to the Chiefs. Chiefs started 5-0. Now look at it. Look at the landscape of the league now. Look at the records. the Ravens just, I think they just are in denial. They say the things on the podium, yeah, well, we need to run the ball, or well, we need to be more aggressive. But then they go out on Sunday and it's like last week, 16-6 the whole game, and you can't muster up a touchdown. And then you're down 10 points. The defense, you know, was good up until that final drive. And then you're down two scores again. You're hustling like it's, you know, the Super Bowl, and you need to get a score to win the game. And it's like, dude, you guys are down 10 and burn two timeouts again. It's just the same old stuff. And I love what Pitta said. I love it.
Was Pitta's comment, and he did talk to Joe. He did talk to Harbaugh. They yes. were able to talk about it, and he was trying to explain to them what he meant. But were his comments a criticism of Joe, of Harbaugh, or the many offensive coordinators that have come through the door?
I mean, you think why the offensive coordinator has been a revolving door? I mean, Harbaugh's one great coach, and I feel like if he were to be let go today, the NFL team would snag him up. They would probably 100%. Fire their own and hire him. What's that?
100% he would be.
I mean, 100%.
He would be. Absolutely. That would be like the quickest rehire in league history.
Right, but I feel like there's a disconnect, and I've seen it because whether it's a disconnect with the scouting, the front office, the I don't know, but I think it's got to be the coordinator. But again, how many times have we changed coordinators in the last few years? And I feel like the one we should hire is Kubiak next year. We need to be all on that. Give him any – just write a – Bishai needs to write a blank check and go, how much you want, bud? You know, come back, because we were darn near close to going to Super Bowl with him here, and he left to go. So, I mean, we should have been at the AFC title game with him there. So it's just that Flacco has his best years. We already know the spiel. And I think a solid offensive coordinator goes, hey, look at Josh McDaniels, man, up in New England. That's Exhibit A. He went to Denver as a head coach, didn't work out there. He welcomed back with open arms in New England. It's no secret to what they do. And I feel like, yeah, it's a lot of Brady, because obviously he's doing on his level at, 40 years old that no one really would do. But it's also scheme, and it's also Belichick. If you take away Belichick, you leave Brady in New England, Brandon, but I swear to you, if you take Belichick and Josh McDaniels off of that staff, I don't think they're the same team, because it's just coaching. I've always said this. Belichick plays chess when everybody else is playing checkers, and he makes you look silly because he plays a different game. It's coaching. I'm not saying Harbaugh is a bad coach, but I feel like there's a disconnect with Martinweg, or there's a disconnect with Pease. I feel like the coaching staff isn't on the same page. And when Harbaugh probably wants to do something, I feel like maybe like he should do what Billick did the 1 year and take over play calling and take over everything. Be like, you know what? It ain't working. We need to make the playoffs. We're one game out at 4-5. We need to change it to bye week. I'm taking over. So I think there needs to be a change. And I don't know what it is. Someone needs to get fired, if they need to just rip up the playbook and reorder a new playbook, but something has to change, because we're going to be sitting here next week on the Red Eye Review saying, same old broken record. We lost, and we're 4-6, and we lost to the lowly Packers. It's going to be the same old stuff, man. I don't want it to be, but something's got to change, and let's hope the bye week shook it up.
I hope so. Hopefully everyone was able to get some rest. And it looks like from the injury report, a lot of players were able to get some rest. The only person to not participate in practice was Jimmy Smith. He still has an Achilles injury, but they've been giving him time off during the week so he doesn't have to practice, so he can, you know, be off his feet. Ronnie Stanley was limited in practice due to concussion symptoms. Hopefully he's okay for Sunday. But full participants: Nick Boyle, Michael Campanaro, Chuck Clark, Terrence West, and Tim Williams. This is a great time for this team to get healthy. Danny Woodhead is due back. This was his first week potentially coming back after being placed on IR. So it seems as if this bye week came at a perfect time. The team is getting a little bit healthier, and it seems as if we might actually see a team that we were expecting to see at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely, man. And there was an article on the Ravens website that kind of honed in on that, was saying like the Ravens getting healthier for their stretch run in November and December. And the time is now. I mean, whether we're healthy or unhealthy, going back to what we were discussing, something's got to change too. I mean, the healthy players help, because Woodhead was killing it, as we know, on that first drive, on that first week. We need all hands on deck, because how many times do we have players in IR and it just decimates the team, man? When you have no depth, it's really hard to run your schemes to produce, because it's like what happened in Minnesota. You know, I feel like if the Ravens were with Macklin and were with Wallace, who got hurt in that game, I feel like we could have won the game. But when your receivers are Campanaro and Griff Whalen, this is not going to get the job done, man. And I mean, you got to stay healthy. The healthiest and the hottest teams make the playoffs and hoist that trophy. And sometimes you have a little luck, too. I mean, the Ravens obviously had it with 4th and 29 of Mile High Miracle, but Patriots did, too, with their catches, and the Giants did. We all know things happen. So, you know, but I feel like the team is catching their healthy bug, I should say, reverse it at the right stride, because right now, if we can have all these guys healthy through the remainder of the year, I feel like we can go on that run that we really wouldn't want them to, and we hope they can. But at the same time, it comes down with the schemes, man. If these players can provide and produce on the new schemes, or if we're implementing new stuff, I don't know. I like to see it. I want to see change, but I want to see these guys more involved. If Wood has healthy, get him involved early. Get him the ball, passing the ball, hand the ball off. You know, get Alex Collins a breather, man, because a healthy Alex Collins, a fresh Alex Collins, dude, the boy's a bruiser, and I feel like it's going to be a good 1-2 punch, because when Alex Collins is all we have, it's going to, number one, tire him out, man, but two, offenses are going to know. And I feel like with a lot of these successful backs, or the tandem, I should say, the running back tandem backfields, they're success because they give them different looks and different packages. So I feel like we're getting healthy, man. I'm happy to hear that, you know, not that Jimmy Smith was a scratch, but if he was the only one, let it be that, and let's go to Lambeau Field and take one, man.
And, you know, it's funny to think about this, but Alex Collins has been such a staple of this offense throughout this year. He was a week two signing. I mean, he was not expected to do anything with this team. However, you do now have a healthy Danny Woodhead and a healthy Terrence West making their ways back on the field. They're saying Alex Collins is still going to be the guy. He's still going to be the starter. How do you feature Danny Woodhead and Terrence West as well as Alex Collins, especially against a Green Bay team that is known for a great running defense? They pretty much shut down the Chicago Bears last week, and they got, I think the first drive they got -1 yards against the Green Bay Packers. So what do the Ravens do with this three-headed, and even maybe four-headed if you throw Buck Allen in there, of this running back dragon they have?
It's a lot of mouths to feed in the backfield, man, and it hasn't been like that since the famous 2008 season when we had McGahee, McLean, and I think, was it Ray Rice? Who was it? Was it that three-headed monster? It was LaRon McLean, Willis McGahee. Was it Ray Rice in that backfield?
I'm pretty sure it was Ray Rice, yeah.
Yeah, because they shut down Texas Stadium. I think it was 2008. To believe. But we haven't had it since then, and I feel like that was the key to success, because either player was a workhorse. It didn't matter who was in and what scheme, you knew they were going to get positive yards and make a play. And that's something I want the Ravens to do in the running game. How many times do we hand a ball off, whether it's hand a ball off on a sweep, or even something up the gut in the middle, or even a screen pass out on the left or right, but it's negative yards? I'd rather get 1.5 yards, 2, maybe 3 max every time they touch the ball, because it's positive yards in the right way. This first down and 10, you want to do a draw a play to catch the defense off guard. If you can get 3 yards, good. You're sitting at 2nd and 7. What do you call there? But when you're constantly getting stuffed and then it's 1st and 10, you do a little handoff, you get stuffed for no gain or even a loss, then you're at 2nd and long. Maybe you throw a pass or it's incomplete, then you're staring at 3rd and long if your receiver don't catch it, or if it's a bad pass, you're right back in that boot. And it just creates a long day at the office, man. And I feel like these 3 and 4 backs that we could have healthy right now, it's going to provide a lot of fresh looks and a lot of different schemes for the defense of Green Bay. And I think it's going to give different looks, because they know what they're about. You know, these guys, they ain't no secret. They're on film. They know each other. You know, they're all NFL players. You know, there's countless tapes and countless film on them. But, you know, Alex Collins, we know he's the bruiser. Terrence West, we know he's also a bruiser. But Woodhead's too. He can carry the ball, but he's more of that passing back. But you don't want to always put him in that situation. And I feel like the Ravens can't be too predictable. If you know you need to run yardage, just cycle him out. I feel like they could do a back every play, man. You know, put Woodhead in on first down, put Alex Collins on second down, put out, you know, Weston Allen in on third down. Just keep them recycling out, or feature one or two each drive and just keep it going, man. When you have fresh bodies and fresh legs, I don't know what sports you played in any school, but I played lacrosse, and it was like that for our team. team. It was constantly subbing people out, getting fresh feet, fresh legs, fresh lungs, getting them in there because that tires out defenses. And when you and I think we need to run no huddle. That's Joe Flacco's strength. And when you can do that and you can sub on the fly and do it quick, and I think we need to be more up tempo. We're just more lax. I want to see more time control, more ball control. I want the time possession to be in our favor. I want clock management to be good. I mean, yeah, we're asking a lot. No. I mean, they're not going to have a perfect game, but there are things that they need to correct in order to move forward for a stretch run. But it's got to start, number one, being healthy. That's the check mark off the list. Right now, they haven't played a game yet, but yeah, they're looking pretty healthy, man. So I think the running back schemes, man, it's going to go far beyond a breath of fresh air for us.
But yeah, and it definitely the running back game has to be strong because
it has to be, yeah.
There's no passing game. There's no passing game at all for
Well, there's no vertical passing game. Let's put it that way. There's a passing game, but I don't know what it's called, but it's not working.
No. It's not. And I think we know that. And I think Green Bay knows that. And they're going to be doing their best to shutting down the run and forcing Joe to throw it, knowing that his targets may not be the greatest targets in the world and that they can, you know, get some interceptions and have Joe, you know, do a lot of three and outs.
Absolutely.
And that really sucks. But let's talk about Green Bay's quarterback. Once again, the Ravens will be up against a backup quarterback with Aaron Rodgers out. Brett Hundley, he's a 3-year quarterback, and this will be his fourth career start. He did a good job against Chicago. What do the Ravens have to do against this kind of quarterback who they're saying he's worked with Aaron Rodgers very close? He's done his best to mimic Aaron Rodgers. So we're not facing the skill of Aaron Rodgers, but let's just say it's like a mini-me clone almost.
I can see your point. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say mini-me clone, but he's got some wisdom. He's got some Aaron Rodgers wisdom instilled in him. But what it comes down to is you got to apply pressure. And I think pressuring this guy and really showing him what's about a healthy, coming off the bye week defense, what we're known for. I think on the road, we need to just show him and say, we're going to put on this guy's hands. No Aaron Rodgers. They have no running backs. You're talking about us getting healthy. They lost two running backs in the same game last week, dude.
That's right.
They're out with Jones and we're at Montgomery. I don't even know. I have to look on. Is it Williams? He's just starting to running back right now. I have to look. I think it's this guy Williams. I don't know. But it might be. I have to look. But it's. They're decimated, you know, without Rodgers. They have no running back. I think this is a team we need to feast on, get a win, and get out of Dodge, man, because it's setting up. If we lose to this team, that's it. I'm going to say it's an embarrassment of a team, an embarrassment of a season. I mean, we've had some egg on our face throughout some of these losses and some of these play calls and some of these situations, but Brent Hundley, and again, not to disrespect them, because, I mean, they were 0-3 until they won their first game last week, but they're injured. The running backs are virtually nobody. They had a wide receiver hybrid / running back at Ty Montgomery as a starter. They have no running game. We need to make them one-dimensional, take whoever's in there out. We're already good at stuff in the run. Brandon Williams is back healthy. We got Suggs. We got Mosley. We got Pierce. We got them all at the line. We got to just shut the run down, make this guy Huntley, and I feel like this could be getting back to our roots in the first few games. I think this could be a 4 or 5 turnover game, and I feel like we could win this by double digits. I feel like it's going to go well for us like that. I feel like it's going to bounce out that way for us. I think it's going to it's I got to, and I think the defense need to pin their ears back and go at them hard and often.
Yeah, I think the biggest key to this game is throwing this quarterback off of his normal ways of doing things and making him throw the ball. The Ravens rank so high against a pass defense. You know, this is what they need to do. They need him to throw the ball. They need to get those turnovers. They need to get their hands up in the air and blocking the ball as much as possible. If they can make this guy use his arm and not have the running game, be the main focus for the Green Bay offense, I think the Ravens can win this one.
I think so too, man. I'm going to stick to my guns. I feel like this could be a win. It has to be a win. And I feel like coming after a bye week, we're historically good after a bye. And I feel like the Ravens can win this one. I'm going to call it 20-10 Ravens in their favor. And I feel like we're going to get back to 500, come home and rested. And we have a longer week because we don't play till next Monday night at home. But I feel like this, it all sets up the Ravens for a stretch run. You have a team decimated, you know, with injuries, you know, backup quarterback. They're playing in Lambeau. I know it's Mystique and all that. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. awesome for any fans making the trip. This is one I was circling on the calendar but didn't get a chance to go. I went to their neighbors in Minnesota. But it's just it's going to be a great game. Ravens have played there in 8 years. And I think we last played there on a Monday night football game, if I recall. And we got waxed, I believe. So, and I feel like when they get back to 500, I think it's just a momentum carrier. They can get there, win this game. I'm not taking any credit. You take the wins now as you get them. I'm not going to go, okay, well, they weren't tested. Win's a win in the NFL. I don't care if the team is playing their fifth string scrubs. You know, get the win, get out there, and get to 5-5. They lose this game, obviously, it's all but done. The nail would be in the proverbial coffin where the Ravens' season is pretty much over at that point. You just got to get 30 games, get the offseason. But if we want to have any hope and root them hard for a playoff push, even as silly as it sounds, but that's why I don't want to lose hope, man. It's, as I said it on the onset of the show, the Ravens are a game out of first – or not first place, but they're a game out of the final wild card spot in the AFC. They're in a driver's seat pretty much because they have a cake schedule. And I don't know if you noticed, but look what the Bills just did. They're the sixth and final wild card spot at 5-4. They just benched Tyrod Taylor, the starter.
They did.
So you look at it that way, it's like really – it's like how it just makes you want to smack your fist on your head. Like how you just almost want to go to the castle and sit down with these guys and go, do you guys not get it? Look, you have no Aaron Rodgers, no Deshaun Watson. The Bills are a game ahead of you, just benched their quarterback. It's like it's like the football gods are just like, come on, please, please, Ravens, just take it. And we don't. It's like these wins are right there on the board, it's gonna happen. We'll probably finish 8-8 and go, we were a game and a half out. All we do is win a game here and again, and it's gonna be the same as all Ganance. They have to take it to them. They have to take him to the woodshed again. You know, recap the keys. Stop the decimated running game of Green Bay. Make Brent Hundley beat you with his arm. He's going to look silly if he does. Make him, you know, do duress under pressure. Got to put the pressure on him. And I feel like they just need to get back to the roots and getting back to the turnover game and taking care of the football and getting back. I mean, do I want the Ravens to throw 50-yard touchdowns all the field? Absolutely not. It'd be fun to watch. But, Brandon, I went back on this bye week and was just reminiscing. Not to say I missed it, but this team has done it before. Remember when Steve Smith was here, I think year one, and we had Flacco had like 5 touchdown passes in the first half against the Buccaneers.
Right.
Wasn't he slinging the ball all over the place in that game?
Yeah, and you could tell Joe was having fun.
Exactly. Look what happened when he opened the game against the Raiders. First call, play call. Boom. He went right down the field to Mike Wallace. He went up, got it, 52-yard catch. It set the tone. And the Ravens, again, that game, they looked like they were having fun. And I feel like when they start out fast, they just got to start out quick. And I feel like if they do the whole vanilla, get the ball first, and they go 3-and-out and get the momentum to Green Bay, they can. They have to. Right now, their backs are against the wall. And I'm like, do you guys want to be in playoffs or not? You know, I see the Rams are all with energy and vigor. And I see, look what happened to the Niners, man. They won their first game and they were partying in their locker room like they won the NFC title going to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's like the Ravens. I want that fire back. I want that passion back. We've seen it on Thursday night against the Dolphins. We've seen it in some of other these games. But I feel like every game, they can't look ahead. They can't look in 3 weeks. Oh, we got the Steelers. We got Monday night coming home on the national stage. No, this is it. There's no game after Lambeau. This is all you got, and they need to put blinders on and go, there's a game at 1 o'clock, and it ends around 4 p.m., 4:15, or whatever. It's a 3-hour real-time game, 60 minutes on the clock. Let's go, and let's get a W. It's 0-0. You win, you're 1-0, and then reset the clock, and you're 0. They need to have that mentality because I feel like you said, they look ahead. They look towards the bye week and just got lazy in the Titans game, and that was when it got away, and the Titans are just mediocre, dude. I mean, Jacksonville's winning that division 6-3 right now. So, I mean, it is what it is. And you look at the teams that are in the hunt, Brandon. Did you take a look at that? It's the Raiders and the Dolphins, who we beat soundly. Had 2 great wins out of our 4. So, and the Dolphins absolutely are horrible, and they already lost this past week. So it's just, again, we just got to take care of business, and it's just frustrating because it's all right there.
I know, and this definitely is a must-win game. I mean, looking, like you said, it's pretty much it's a cakewalk for the rest of the year. Yeah, there's a couple teams that will give you some trouble, but if they can beat the Packers and then the last 3 weeks, Browns, Colts, Bengals, those are 4 winnable games. If you can get one more past that, you know, right. and go 9-7, you got a good chance of making the playoffs.
Yep. But I couldn't agree with you more.
If they lose in Green Bay on Sunday, that's it. The season
oh, it's
is over.
Over. Oh, yeah. It's pretty much virtually, it will be over. There's no virtually, there's no if, and, or buts. I mean, 4-6, you went out and you're 10-6. So it's just, you know, that's not going to happen with games against the Lions and Steelers, our two hardest games back to back, one home, one away. You know, we have the fun and the luxury of looking at bigger picture. I want the team to focus on one game because apparently they can't even get out of a quarter without messing up. So, I mean, let's just take it drive by drive, quarter by quarter. Let's get out with a win, man. It's just, and head into the holiday, Thanksgiving week, you know, with the win, back to 500, get to fill it, and I have a 5-day weekend personally, so it's going to be awesome nice. To just you know hone in on a home game and cap it off with a Monday night football game at home. I remember you know back when we had those two games, the Niners and the Steelers on Thanksgiving night. They were the two best games I've ever been at home, man. They were great.
Those are. I wish the Ravens would play more games on Thanksgiving. It kills me that they're playing Monday night Thanksgiving weekend because, like, you have so much football to watch around Thanksgiving, and you got to wait all the way until Monday to see the Ravens team. I hate that, but I guess somebody in the league has to do it. So, Josh, for this Purple Friday preview, Ravens Packers, have we covered everything?
Brandon, man, quote the Raven, nevermore on this Lambeau Field trip. We have it. In the bag.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Plus, we are always trying to share something Ravens related, and we love the conversations we are having with you guys over on the Facebook page. So definitely go check that out. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. Now, if you live locally to the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, I'm going to ask you guys a favor and check out Maryland Farm and Harvest. It airs on Maryland Public Television, your PBS affiliate, on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. The fifth season started this past Tuesday. There's 13 episodes, and yours truly is the editor, the online editor, for that season. So I've been working on the show since August. I've been having a great time. It's a lot of interesting stories about farmers in Maryland that I had no idea about. Go check it out. And if you'd like to watch the first episode now, you can do that. Go to video.mpt.tv and you can watch that there. So that is pretty much it for the Purple Friday preview this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And hey, it's another great piece of work in the portfolio of Brandon, man. It's I had a chance to check some of it out. I have it in my DVR. It's great work, man.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you.
It has been a lot of fun. This is my first series as a TV editor. I've done some one-offs and some news pieces. This is my first time being a full series editor, and it has been a ton of fun.
I'm happy to, man, and it's always just fun to do the call with you as well. And, guys, man, bye week was great. Refresh. Hopefully our team's refreshed and ready to go. Lambeau Field's a sight. I think it would be a lot more dangerous than Aaron Rodgers, but a lot more fun, man, because he's one of the all-time greats, and you know, not going to be able to get to see him this go-around. Who knows? Maybe the Ravens won't ever play him again. That's a good topic for another day. But they got to take care of business, as we talked about. It's right here for this football team. Will they show up? Will they be aggressive? Will they be hungry and ready? What Ravens team will we see? Will we see the vanilla, or are we going to see the fire and attack that we want to see with this team and show that they want to win and they want to go places with the season they have left? The opportunities are getting smaller every week. Here we go. After the bye week starts the real technical second half of the year for the football team after the halfway point. We were right here. It's late November. Got to win these games. Got to take care of football. Got to get hot at the right moment. Will we make the AFC playoffs? Only a few weeks are going to tell that story. It starts with Lambeau Field, 1 o'clock on Sunday. be there, be square. Ravens, let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.